we heard one adult say to another adult, "Look at the children. Look at these guys." They said, "Look at these guys." And the husband said, "What?" And I don't know, it might have been some of ours. And the wife said, "They're talking to each other with words." There's no texting. You guys didn't realize you had it in you, but you do. Amen. I want to talk just for a couple of minutes, and really, I'm just going to give you a couple of thoughts. I'm going to give you a couple of thoughts, parents. I feel like I qualify to give you a couple of thoughts, parents. Amen. I love being a youth pastor. I love being a youth pastor who's a little bit older. I feel it kind of gives me a little edge, a little bit. I understand them a little better than your average 20, 22, 23-year-old coming out of college. And I love them. And one thing I know about them is they're not one of them are the same. Every single one of them are different, and they all have to be treated differently. Now, corporately, there are things we all have to do as Christians, but every single person has a different personality, and they all have to be treated differently, every single one of them. Parents, I just want to give you just two thoughts real quick. If you would, just open your Bibles real quick to Revelation. Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. I'm not in any means preaching an expository message on any particular verse right here. I just want to take something out of it, and there's a real principle here that we could use. You understand in the book of Revelation, the first few chapters, the Lord is, He's admonishing some of the churches. He's also commending them for things done right. He's admonishing them for things done wrong. And then He gives them instruction on how to maintain. And there are two of the churches in which he says, in one church, he says, in chapter 2, verse 24, the church in Thyatira, chapter 2, verse 24, he says, "But unto you I say, unto the rest in Thyatira, and as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which you have already. Hold fast till I come." Okay, now just that phrase, "hold fast till I come." And then over in chapter 3, the Lord is speaking, and He says in verse 1, "Unto the angel of the church in Sardis, write these things, saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead." Now watch this. He said, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain." And just those two phrases came to my mind as I prepared to just stand up and speak to you for just a couple of minutes. Parents, we have bragged and bragged and bragged on your kids, rightly so. And I'm not going to go off on any negative tangent on any other church that was there, and I could. I could. But I just want to tell you that I believe we had the best group there. I do. I really believe that, and I think I could prove that. But I'm not going to do that. I just want to tell you, strengthen. We haven't arrived with them. There's still 12 and 13 and 15 and 16. So strengthen that which they have right now. Don't you know, just because we're getting up here and bragging on them, don't think they can't go bad, because they can go bad. All it would take is just a very short period of time for you to let your guard down. You let your guard down, and they'll be gone. You strengthen, continue to strengthen them. And that which you have, hold it fast. Hold fast. Don't let go of what you've got. I'm telling you, I know by experience, if you let your guard down just a little bit, you'll let the proverbial elephant into the room, and he'll take over. And you've got to hold fast. If you think you've got good kids now, look, what you've done up to this point, you have to keep doing it and keep doing it. I don't take the credit for your kids. There's no way. I wouldn't do that, not for a minute. If I have good kids it's up there, it's because they're getting something at home. And you keep on, just strengthen that. They've got a foundation, but just keep strengthening that foundation. The way you got them right here, keep doing that. Just keep doing that. Don't sacrifice them on the altar of sports. Don't sacrifice them on the altar of popularity. And if anything, they would admit to this. They would say it, if I didn't stand up here and say it, that sports is secondary It's temporal. It's not going to mean a hill of beans in eternity. So strengthen the things that are important. Strengthen those things. We've got a sign out here on the board outside. It says, the things that are important in life are timeless, not trendy. They're timeless. The things that are going to matter in their life are the things that you're going to do every Sunday and every Wednesday. And every time the doors open and they have an opportunity to come to church, and every youth activity that comes along and they have an opportunity, continue to give them opportunities to serve the Lord. Continue to give them opportunities. Don't hold them back from serving the Lord. Give them opportunities. Don't throw a wet blanket over any fire that they bring home. Continue to strengthen those things which remain. Now, quickly, I've got about 2 minutes and I want to give you this other thought. Turn back with me to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And I know that this is real in the lives of many of our Christian parents. And I'm going to do this as quickly as possible. Jesus is on the cross at this point. And I'm going to be around 39, verse 39. Chapter 23, verse 39. Luke 23, verse 39. Jesus is on the cross. He's between two malefactors. The Word of God calls them. And the Bible says that one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked the other malefactor, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I want to ask you something about that thief, that malefactor. I want to ask you parents something. You think his parents were to blame? Think his parents were to blame for him being on that cross? Too many times our good Christian parents take a whole heap of guilt that they don't deserve to take. You carry a burden that I don't think you deserve to carry. If you look at this guy right here, we see a couple of things about him, and I think we can come to a definite conclusion that his parents were not to blame. You look at what he said. When one of the malefactors looked at Christ and said, if you be Christ, then come down and get us out of this mess. But the other one, he rebuked him and he said, don't you fear God? Somewhere down the line, this young man learned to fear God. Where did he learn that? Where did he learn that? I guarantee you, he didn't learn it from the people that he was running with, which got him here. He learned it somewhere before this point in his life. Don't you fear God? Here's a man who knew who God was. He had a healthy fear, but he just took a wrong turn somewhere and made a conscious decision to disobey what his parents had taught him about God up to this point. He said, don't you fear God? Now look what else he said. I'm going to condense this. He said, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. Here's a man who was willing to take responsibility for his actions. He knows he did wrong. Look, if at this point in their lives they don't know the difference between right and wrong now, then yes, you're to blame. But I have a feeling by the time they get up to my class, they already know the difference between right and wrong. We can emphasize it, we can reinforce it, but ultimately you're the one who has already taught them the difference between right and wrong. This man knew the difference. He said, we deserve what we get. We were wrong. We did wrong. And whatever it was they did, he admitted it. He said, we were wrong. His parents weren't to blame for him doing wrong. He obviously knew what the difference between right and wrong, and he admitted to wrong. Sometimes our kids take the wrong turn, but consciously. Sometimes they make a conscious decision to turn their back on the things that you've taught them. The way that you've lived before them, they make a conscious decision to do that. And you don't deserve the guilt and carry the burden that comes with that. I understand it breaks your heart. I'm telling you, I understand how it breaks your heart. But it's not your fault if you've taught them right from wrong. And then I want you to notice this quickly. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. How did he know about the kingdom? How did he know about that? Where did he learn that? He only learned it from the Word of God. And I venture to guess that he learned it at his mom and daddy's knee. Have you taught your kids the Word of God? Have you taught them right and wrong from this book right here? Have you taught them who God is? Who Jesus Christ is? Have you taught them that? If you've taught them that, then quit beating yourself up. This man paid a dear price for going the wrong direction. When he knew to go right, he had to pay that price. But his parents weren't to blame. Yes, parents, I understand it's going to break your heart. My heart's broke. It's been broken. And there are parents in this room whose heart is broken. But I'll guarantee you, every one of these, if they'll be honest, every one of these guys would line right back up here and say, yeah, Mom and Dad, you've taught me right from wrong. You've taught me from this book. I've seen you pray. I know how to pray. I know the Bible, and I know Jesus, and I know God. And if they turn, it's not your fault. Were his parents to blame? I don't think so. We've got good kids. I'm going to say that over and over. We do. Strengthen that which remains. Strengthen it. Strengthen it. And as you strengthen it, if they turn their back on it, don't you blame yourself. Amen? Don't blame yourself, preacher.